This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Atepoti Youth Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to Vibe Check, a show on the youth support organisations and events in Atepoti Dunedin. We have Irfan Arifin here with us. Kia ora, assalamualaikum Irfan.
Waalaikum salam and kia ora everyone.
Yay. So Irfan, I think this is the first time you're on Vibe Check, but you have been a regular guest on previous shows like Connecting Cultures Features, and you also had your own podcast on Youth Zone called Political Pulse, I think 2 years ago, which
yes.
I am so excited to have you on the show today to talk about a few of your roles. So currently you are the OUSA International Rep. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is April, so I'm sure you've had a lot of work done as well.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that later. But you're also the Otago International Students Association co-president. So I guess people can understand the theme we're going to talk about today, student life, specifically international students. But do you want to introduce yourself for the things I haven't introduce yourself for?
So kia ora everyone. My name is Irfan. I'm the OUSA International Representative and Co-President of OISA. But also last year I was the National President of the New Zealand International Students Association. And I'm studying public health. This is my final semester.
Final semester.
Yes, I wouldn't say final year.
Semester. This is it.
We're done.
Irfan, yeah. I feel like I have known you since your first year here.
Yes, because I entered the show and I sort of created a podcast in my first year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I've essentially grown with OFM.
Yes. If we make a clip of all the times you were here talking about different things, you can actually tell, you've been here the whole time as well throughout your studies.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, before we talk about, like, you finishing off and everything, so last year you were the NZISA president, and this year you're focusing more locally, and you are representing Otago International students. What's that like? Because that is a big change, leading a national group, and now you're focusing more on, like, local politics.
Yeah. I think, when I first started to stand for OUSA, it was also a last-minute decision because I never actually thought I was going to stand for OUSA in the first place. So it was really like last minute, couple of minutes before the nomination closed, just putting my name through. And then I decided, okay, I'm just going to stand for it. And obviously here I am. But I think for NZISA, on a national level, you're more focused on policy. You're more focused on pushing back on what the government has to say, whatever policy discussions you lend your voice to the table. You are involved in those big discussions. But on a local level in OUSA, in the University of Otago, you are doing very much the same things, but on a more close local scale. So a lot of interaction with University of Otago leadership and stakeholders. So, and obviously major policy meetings are something that's not really foreign to me, because I've been doing those things when I do go back and forth and make the flights to Wellington, and also the virtual meetings that I have with other government stakeholders. So it's not really as different. But I will say it's much more relaxed this year. I'm quite liking the job this year. We have a very good exec. So apart from me as international rep, we have the other roles with the other leadership led by our president, Daniel Leamy, who's doing a very fantastic job. Performing really well. There's a lot of goodwill among the exec, doing very well to try and support our student community, particularly as we try to rebuild confidence of the student in OUSA and try to find a way forward for students to support them, especially in this difficult time. And of course, the geopolitical situation that's happening, everyone's talking about it. Yeah, first it was the Gaza war, and now it's the Iran and, the United States conflict, war, whatever you want to call it. But sort of being there to be able to sort of lend the student voice, and of course the international student voice, to this to the stakeholders of the university in representation of the OUSA is something that I very much like it. I'm settling really well into the job. So if we had interviewed a couple of weeks back, I thought I'd be crashing out on the radio show about my quarterly reports. But yeah, that's done. My pay didn't get cut, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I really like the job. There's a lot of goodwill, and I think it will be a very fantastic year ahead.
Oh, well, it's probably good we had this interview in April and not before. But, you know, it is the middle of the first semester. I think students are having their mid-semester break coming up as well. So what projects or things have you been focusing on?
So at the start of the year, obviously, orientation week, we've been quite busy. A lot of my hours went into planning for the International Food Festival and, of course, helping out in Tent City, running the OUSA exec booth, doing the barbecues, just to sort of create the atmosphere for first-year students to come back to come to Otago and to actually enjoy the sun, the scenery, to enjoy the place and understand that OUSA exists for them and with them. And so they are welcomed into the education space. But also I look at it as, you know, having been a returning student, despite being here for 4 years, all week is one thing and Rio week are the things that I really look forward to. So obviously trying to sort of connect with as many students as possible, that is something that I very much liked. On the OUSA international rep front, of course, I was involved in the planning and execution of the international welcome. So together with my co-president colleague Adlina, we sort of managed to MC and host more than about 300 to 400 students, I think, international students at the international welcome at Sandaze, which was really good to welcome the international students to Dunedin.
So we have 300 to 400 new international students
this
year?
We have a sizable number. I think it's almost 300-400 students. Yes, there's been an increase in international arrivals. Obviously, the good news is that we're back to pre-COVID levels, so that's really good. But we want to get more international students coming in to Dunedin. So I was really relieved by the turnout. That was good. And obviously IFF, which was good but bittersweet this year because there was Ramadan. So essentially I had to pack a lot of my food stuff in the car. And then we broke our fast at home together among my friends and I. So, but all in all, OWIC was pretty busy. And then following OWIC, of course, we were planning for the Multicultural Ball, which is something that I'm looking forward to. We've gathered the numbers, we've gathered the clubs that are cultural clubs that are keen to participate in it. So we're probably going to have a meeting after the mid-sem break, just so that people get a break. But aside from that, it's mostly a lot of policy meetings, just getting to know the different committees that I sit in, the Health Science Committee, Commerce Committee, and of course, one major meeting with Deputy Vice Chancellor Engagement, External Engagement, which was one of the more busier and heavier meetings. I also have very regular sessions with our Director International, Jason. Very fantastic guy, does very well, has got a good grip of the international student community, but also at the same time wants to hear more voices and wants to hear more sort of suggestions and ideas from his international reps. So I very much value those conversations. And having mentioned that the international meet and greet, which we had for students that OISA actually coordinated, was also a very good turnout. We expected it exceeded our expectations, actually. About 100 people came for the OISA International Office welcome, which was really good. Just giving a student the space to sort of vibe and mix around and build some connections, because I was also once upon a time attending an international welcome and built a lot of connections there as well. So we like to continue these events, especially when they bring tangible results.
And it's great that you're collaborating with International Office as well. So is that with the support people?
Yeah, so we collaborate with International Office for a range of things, right? So international marketing, for instance, we work very closely with them to put out the welcomes to even promote Otago, as simple as promoting Otago to the world and telling people that Otago is ready, open for education, for opportunities. So the international marketing was one place we worked with. We also worked very closely with the student visa office. There are a lot of students with advocacy issues that may require some further assistance and they don't know where exactly to source those support. So we point them to the international office. We send a nice email to them and then we tell them that we have some issues that we need sorted. And they've been very supportive. The team at international office have been really, really good in what they do. And like I mentioned, a lot of other discussions such as meetings which concern university student life in general. The international office is always a party to those meetings. And they also make it a point to sort of send us an invite as well and tell us, you know, there's a meeting. And if we are not present in the meeting, you know, the international office sort of tells me, you know, you didn't come for the meeting, but, you know, this is what was discussed, this is what was covered. We exchange notes. Mm. So I think it's really a collaborative working relationship, and I very much enjoy that. This is something that I didn't observe when I was in NZISA, of course, because it was a completely different thing. So that's why I feel like there's more. I came into this role, even though it was a last-minute decision, but I came to this role with sort of more clarity than when I first stepped into the role as NZISA president, which to a certain extent is really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great that you had the experience of working in policy level as well. And thinking about this year, 2026, international students, what are the trends or any challenges that you see coming up for international students this year? And I know you mentioned about like the crises that happen overseas. Is there anything that's really top of mind for you?
I think as a public health soon-to-be graduate, I'd say the main thing on my mind is the meningococcal virus outbreak that has happened in the university. So the university has been encouraging the student community to go and get themselves vaccinated. I have some international student friends who have gotten themselves vaccinated, but the price to get the vaccination is really expensive. You can't use your student insurance for that. So what me and Director Jason in the international office have been doing is sort of trying to get more clarity about the situation, to try and see how we can work with the university or even with the insurance company that provides student safe inbound insurance, to try and see whether they can at least use their student insurance to be able to pay for the cost of the vaccine, because I think people need to be safe and people need to have learned from the mistakes from COVID. So that's something that, if you say it's front and center of my mind, that's what I'm doing as well. And apart from that, of course, we've started to see some students actually leaving their accommodation because of the fact that there's a lack of healthy homes living standard, but they're not able to find an alternative accommodation for them, for themselves, you know. So, and this will eventually, in the long run, contravene visa conditions because immigration expects that you have a place to stay. Unfortunately, the healthy home living standards isn't really being respected in general in Otago. So I've been working very closely with our residential rep, Zoe, to see how we can sort of support students in that space to try and find a solution to it. She's been talking about having a green tick system. So if you live in a flat and you are leaving the flat at the end of the year and you like the flat, or you say that it was a good experience living there, you put a green sticker on the flat. So when people come to view the flat, they'll know that this is a good accommodation. It fits the healthy home living standards. So that's something that Zoe and I have been working on, particularly Zoe. But the two main issues, basically housing and of course, the health implications for the students as they come into Otago and live in Otago. These are the two main things that I've very much been looking on for. There's also one final thing, which is the AI policy. That's something that I'm not able to share as a whole at the moment, but it's something that we're trying to understand basically with my AVP Commissioner and my academic rep, Hansini. We're trying to see how we can understand the university's AI policy better so we can sort of be involved in the consultation process to try and see how we can use AI to sort of support students rather than make it a sort of a penalizing factor for students because everybody just jumps the moment they see AI, plagiarism, turn it in, you know, academic misconduct. Everybody gets really worried when that happens. So just trying to get some clarity about those issues and find a way to make it less certain, less uncertain, to give students more certainty in their as they progress through their degree, their semester. That's something we're also looking into.
And is there an international student angle towards the AI use and policy?
I think very much so, because a number of international students that come to Otago, they are not they do not have English as their first language. A sizable portion of them don't. And some of them don't really, most in fact, don't really understand the education system in tertiary university settings like in Otago. So sort of having to provide them with a huge chunk of information that you are coming to uni, academic misconduct is a thing. Do not use AI when half the world's using it. These are very, very huge jargon for international students. And that's why we've been trying to go, you know, area by area, whether it is through the health science sector, whether it is through, you know, submission of AI, you know, a submission of essays, for example, and people use AI. We're going through bit by bit to try and see from which area and do international students require more support that we see, and how can we provide those support to international students.
And thinking about the groups that you have been collaborating with, I saw that recently you had an Eid event with Musa. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a really good event. Musa and Oysa has collaborated with the Eid event. This was the first time we've done it. So it was an interesting experience having to work with the Musa execs and, of course, Oysa as well. We collaborated. There were a couple of group chats that I had to be in. Because we made it in such a way that the Musa execs will collaborate with their OISA counterparts to try and sort of cover the different areas in the event. We got a huge turnout this time compared to last year, and I think generally the event was a success. And I also have to give my credit to Musa Vice President Sophia Heisel in this, because I was only there for the first half coordinating it. But the main game of the event, which was Jeopardy, which was supposed to be a big hit for Musa. So she coordinated that, and I think she did really well at this. So I think a huge shout out must go to Sophia. And I think she's also running a show in So the All FM podcasters or former podcasters are making a huge mark in the community.
Exactly. She's part of the All FM family as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's something that should be commended and acknowledged.
I feel like there is so much happening, even though it's only April, but there's just a lot that has happened in the international student, but also university space as well. And thinking about now, it's mid-semester break. What is the next steps for you for the next half of the semester before you graduate?
The next half of the semester would be completing my degree now. I mean, that's the main thing. But yeah, the next half of the semester on the international student space will be more focused on the multicultural ball, as I mentioned before. We are putting a lot of emphasis on that, taking more time to sort of spend. The event will be in July or August, but we usually try to start ahead and plan early because things get booked up very quickly. So we're trying to get all of these sorted out. So we're going to start doing that. We're also, and you mentioned about Musa, actually, we are also working on a betterment workshop because we want to try and better engage the wider Muslim community that is in the University of Otago this year, because we've seen an increase in the number of students coming in from South Asia, particularly the Muslim community as well. So I'm working with the welfare and equity representative, Rihanna, to try and, you know, sort of engage the Muslim University Student Association to see how we can sort of engage the community better, the student community better, and make it a more inclusive environment for all students, actually, I would say, Muslim, non-Muslim. So that's one of the main things that we'll be looking into apart from the multicultural ball. And of course, I will continue to be doing what I've been doing. From the start of this year, sort of advocating for international students' issues. People have come to me for those housing issues. We've managed to find solutions for most, if not all of them. Mm. The UniFlats has been really good in this space. So if you're an international student listening to this, I mean, don't go running to UniFlats for every problem. But if it's a really major issue, I think UniFlats has provided temporary accommodations for international students, particularly the postgrad students, which was something that's really good. Working very closely with UniFlats. Of course, advocating with Immigration New Zealand continues, even though I'm out of the national level space, because requesting for a ministerial intervention with the Students' Authority, of course, that's something that I have been doing since last year, and I have continued to do it this year. Thankfully, there has been no major visa policy cases this year, but we're always, you know, we always go with, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You know, a student will just come to you and he's freaked out and he's having a huge challenge with that. So that's something that, I mean, I've been, you know, sort of experiencing this. I've been in the space. I have the experience to oversee these processes. So that is really good. Mm-hmm. And our execs are having a potluck sometime next week. But I got to check my schedule. So Daniel, if you're listening to this, don't shoot me, because I haven't checked my schedule. But yeah.
Well, that's fun to know that there will be lots of, you know, just gatherings and also reconnecting about issues and the things that bring you together. How do you work with NZISA this year?
So I have a very good privilege of two things. Firstly, of course, being the former NZISA president, the most recent one, and also because I've handed it over to Ibuki, who was international rep last year. So we have had a very good working relationship. I work with the Reps Council, which is my counterparts of international rep with the other universities. We work very closely together. There's a Reps Council meeting once every quarter. We had that for our first quarter, just exchanging ideas, sharing goals. What are the main challenges that our student community face? Like in some other universities, they don't even have an international office. Can you believe it? So I think we are very lucky here in Otago. But also sharing what Otago has done and what we have planned for international students here with people from other universities to see if they can implement it in their universities and probably get a good outcome. So that is for the Reps Council. And of course, I have conversations with Buki, both on how NZISA can collaborate with OISA and the international office, but also to a certain extent also as an advisory sort of perspective, you know, for him to ask me for some of my point of views. I think I'm quite grateful that he still comes to me for certain, not always, but he does come to me for, you know, the occasional advice, the occasional tips. I think it's really good. Keeps my mind active as well. And I think Ibuki is really doing really well in NZISA. So it's really good. Our working relationship, we don't really have very regular meetings, but when we do, it's a very deep, concerted discussion that we have. And having mentioned that, as international rep, I've also kept the working relationships that I have forged when I was NZISA president with the National Disability Student Association presidents, Eloise and Nikita. So I worked very closely with them when I was in the NZISA space for 2 years, first as public relations officer and then as president. But they're coming down to Dunedin, I think, in May. So I'll be catching up with them. We still catch up on calls and on the Zoom meetings just to exchange information and have conversations. Because sometimes you just have to talk with your colleagues and counterparts, and then you understand the situation as a whole. And then you pick up issues that people are facing, you know. So when I was talking to Nikita, for instance, the other day, there are a lot of international students who have disabilities or hidden disabilities, and this could impede their visa application. So that's something that I will start looking into in semester two after Nikita comes down and we discuss how we are going to approach those issues. Because for me, if it concerns two or more equity groups, then I like to engage the other equity group together. Mm. Yes, they are international students, but if they are persons with disability, then I'd like to get the NDSA perspective as well. And they've also been doing very, very good work with their community. They've also been recently supporting Liam Melvin in the Otago Disability Students Association, trying to restart the organization. And that's something I'm not fully involved in it, but I give my fullest support to it and be there to help where needed.
Mm. And Irfan, this year has been already a lot, even though it's the fourth month of the year. And thinking about all of your roles, you're also, you know, a final year student as well. So just thinking about what are the things that you're looking forward to, and just, you know, as we wrap up this interview, what are you excited for?
I'm excited to graduate. My parents are coming to New Zealand after 2-3 years, so that's good. We'll be doing a little bit of a road trip. Of course, very excited to graduate, just, you know, take some time to take a break. I've told my parents after I complete my degree, I want to take a long break, at least 6 months of doing absolutely nothing. Because for the last 3.5 years, I have been doing a lot. I worked really, really, really hard.
Are you sure you can take a break?
So I am going to do that, but...
How are you enforcing that to yourself? Because you are a busy person and you're used to that.
Yeah, because I don't want to just disconnect completely. So that's why, and I'm also aware that I still got a job to do in OUSA. But I think having stepped down from NZISA, having focused on OUSA, I've already started to find way much more of a balance now. Like, I have time now with my friends. I have time with my family. So I get to call my parents and call them for 2-3 hours on every day. So my father says he sees me more often on the call now, so which is good. And I think I've got much more of a balance this year. But I also know that I don't want to just completely drop everything. But I'll take a long break academically, of course. Advocacy, I will continue to do what I do with OUSA. But I also say this because I'm slowly moving out of the advocacy space, because from next year onwards, I don't intend to continue doing that. Probably go more towards an advisory perspective and support the new generation of students, international students, who will be taking on the baton from me.
Oh, that is Irfan Arifin. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll have a few more chats before you go on your hiatus as well.
Yes, definitely.
But we really appreciate the chats we have.
Definitely. Likewise. Thank you very much.
Atepoti Youth, Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.